Good afternoon, Cincinnati. Listen, I've gone to probably 300 of these things over the past 30 years. Cincinnati has a tradition of throwing a very good rally for marijuana. And like a lot of the other people who've been up here in front of you today, I want to encourage you to give yourself a hand for having the tenacity and the vision to show up here today. You all have had some very good speakers up here to this point, and I don't want to reiterate a lot of what they said. I want to make sure you can hear me in the back. Can you hear me in the back?
Yeah.
Is this okay? All right. Everyone here has a story as to why they're here. Every one of us has either communicated with the cannabis plant or has someone in the family who communicates with the cannabis plant. How many people's spirituality on this planet has been enhanced by their relationship with the cannabis plant? How many people feel that it reaches and touches you on an inner level that you would not realize you had unless you communicated with the cannabis plant? It's nature's way of saying hi. And it speaks to us as human beings. Humans who have grown on this birth death cycle on this planet for thousands and tens of thousands of years, who have depended upon the fruits of the soil, who have depended upon the plants and the animals for mankind's use. It is the most natural thing in the world for us as human animals to communicate with the plants and to ingest plants and be affected by them and to affect them to our own use. And people who say that they want to create a drug-free society are absolutely insane, because there never has been a drug-free society on this planet and there never will be. These are the people who want to put an inhumane and alien constraint on we, the human beings. And they have a name. We are face to face with an enemy today that we had better recognize so that we can train ourselves to combat them. A little history lesson. For 10,000 years, in the agricultural community, we have grown the basic necessities of the society out of the land. Fiber, fuel, medicine, and food. Those are the four things you need for a civilization. You need fiber to clothe yourself. You need fuel to light your home and to warm you. You need food to sustain yourself, and you need medicine to treat your wounds and your ailments. And over 10,000 years out of mankind's experimentations and trial and effort, trials and failures, over which plant provided them with the superior fiber, with the superior fuel, with the superior medicine, and the superior food, one plant showed itself, stood out from the rest of them, and that plant was cannabis, and cannabis cultivation is the basis of society as we know it as human beings. And when you use land as a means of producing wealth, when you grow the fiber and fuel and medicine and food from the land, then the money produced from that flows up through the small towns and into the cities and then back down to the small towns and back down to the land. In 1937, E.I. DuPont Nemours Corporation, in a report to its shareholders, had this to say. They said, we have invested $18 million in synthetic processes involving petroleum, and we are able to make all kinds of new age products that we did not know we could make before. Our first product is nylon, and we can produce it synthetically. Then they say, our ability to recognize a profit from this investment is directly related to our ability to utilize the revenue-raising arm of government to force acceptance of sudden social and industrial reorganization. As a chemical company saying they're going to use the power of taxation to force acceptance of sudden social and industrial reorganization. Well, their idea of industrial and social reorganization is to criminalize the farmer from producing those products from the land, so that they can have a monopoly on the production and distribution of the synthetic processes that replaced them. So, in World War II, the Nazis were the big chemical companies. The Nazis were the big industrialists out of Germany and some of the industrialists in America. They were the fascists. And they did not get defeated at the end of World War II. What happened was they took the German industrialists that had been running the Third Reich and they put them into American industries. And for the last 50 years, these people with these fascist attitudes towards human beings have gained a stranglehold on the corporate structure, not only in America, but on the planet. And so the people who are trying to criminalize us for associating with the green natural plant, the people who want us to cut us off completely from the natural cycle, so we must be dependent upon their synthetic products, are the petrochemical, pharmaceutical, military, industrial, transnational, corporate, fascist, elite son of a bitches. Many who have never said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, nor to the republic for which it stands, and they're not warm and fuzzy about you or me or our children or our grandchildren, and these people see the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as impediments to the implementation of their New World Order and global economy, which does not include mankind being able to be self-sustaining by planting a seed in the earth and consuming the green natural plant that comes up out of it. They view that as a threat. They cannot allow you to be self-sustaining. You don't fit into their economic forecasts if you're self-sustaining. So what they're going to do is they're going to criminalize your behavior and force you into acceptance of sudden social and industrial reorganization. Well, pardon me, but I don't think America was set up for that kind of shenanigan. I think we're a different kind of country than that. You see, because America was set up different from any place else. Until the American Revolution, all government was fascist. Fascist means that I can exercise arbitrary power over you. I'm a king or a queen or a military strongman and I don't like you and I say, off with your head, and you're gone and off with your head. Our founding fathers knew those forms of government, so they created a constitutional form of government. And to them, a constitution is the antidote to fascism. The Constitution of the United States of America limits the government, tells them expressly what they can do. It limits the power of government so that it cannot act in an arbitrary fashion. And it was designed to make sure that human beings were the recipients of the benefits of government. That the gold and the surpluses of the society didn't go to the feet of the king or the queen. They went back to the people. But there are people who don't want that to happen. There are people who want to have it all for themselves. So since that time, they have tried to bastardize the Constitution to give a government more power than it's supposed to have. And those people are running rampage today and have created a form of government that has far overstepped its bounds in what it should be doing in policing private behavior. And the laws today against marijuana are the most vivid illustration of where the government's overstepped its bounds in policing private behavior in today's society.
Absolutely. Yeah.
These people can only be defeated in two ways. These people can only be fought in two ways. And you, the young generation, must fight them. Every generation must rewin its own freedoms. There's no prior generation that has fought or sacrificed that won you your present-day freedoms. You have got to win them, and you've got to win them on an everyday basis. First of all, you should become educated as to what your freedoms are. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights has no power unless you stand up and personify it. I tell people, you know, and the way I try to tell people is, the way it works is, I've started my own Just Say No program. No, officer, you can't search the damn car. It's great training for being a parent, too. I mean, you know, when you're standing alongside the road and that 6'4" state trooper with the sunglasses and the big gun on his hips says, "I want to search your car," and you say, "No, you cannot." And he says, "Why?" You look at him and says, "Because I said so." Great training for being a parent. And he says, "What's the matter? You know, why don't you let me?" And just say, "Because I said no." Because I tell you, if you can't stand down a pissed off, 6'4", heavily armed state trooper alongside the highway, you don't stand a chance against a pissed off 4-year-old in Toys R Us. It was great training for being a parent. My point is this. If you have been endowed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights at a time in history with far more rights than any other citizen anywhere has, but you are the only person that can activate it. It's got to be you that stands up and say, "No, I will not let you search my car. No, I will not let you search my house. No, you've got to jump through various hoops before you can do anything to me." You have to be a warrior. Nobody else is going to win your freedoms for you. You've got to understand the system and you've got to vote. Because if you don't vote, it's going to come down to the Second Amendment. And I don't want it to come down to the Second Amendment, not yet. But if you don't participate in the political system, that's what's going to happen. Now, I'm a veteran of the political system. I've run for governor in Kentucky 3 times, and I've run for Congress 2x. In the last race for Congress in Central Kentucky as an independent, on the marijuana platform, I got 27% of the vote. That's in the face of an institutional media boycott. But the fact is that the political system can be used to get your message out. A message I want to give here to you today is to get politically active, and there are people out there who are putting their butts on the line to bring you events like this, and they're fighting the government on a lot of other levels too. I want to tell you a quick story, then I want to introduce this next speaker to you. I've been at this 32 years now. It was 1971 when I started out to legalize marijuana. I was 24 years old and a milkman. I decided I was going to go to prison or die at an early age unless I learned the system, so I decided I was going to go to college, become an attorney, become governor of Kentucky, and change marijuana laws. Well, I went to college, became an attorney, and run for governor 3 times, and haven't won that or changed marijuana laws. But through that course of time,